In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. So this is the second to the last week before Great Lent, or second to the last Sunday before Great Lent. We have one more week, and then Great Lent begins following Forgiveness Sunday next week. I want to take you through the progression of the Gospels that we've been reading, and then talk about this Gospel, and perhaps not so much about the immediate outward teaching of the Gospel, but the inward teaching. We have to know inner things, not outer things. You learn your ABCs so that you can learn to read and write, and then you can express yourself in a deep way. The ABCs are only a building block to being able to communicate in a deep way. So in the same way, the outer teaching of the Gospel should lead you to the inner life. It's very, very important. So we will have five Gospels before Great Lent begins, that are basically part of the preparation sequence. It begins with Zacchaeus, and basically, Zacchaeus had a moment when the Lord looked up at him and said, "Make haste, Kim, to come down." So we should be seeking for those moments, and we should make haste. When the Lord speaks to us, we must make haste, and He will speak to you. Whether you hear Him or not, He is speaking to you. And then that building on that is the publican and the Pharisee, where the publican looked down and said, "God be merciful to me, a sinner." He understood who he was. He understood what type of man he was. He understood also who God is, because he knew that he could get mercy from God. The Pharisee, on the other hand, was full of pride and judged his brother and had no idea what kind of man he was. So we take from this that we must be able to recognize ourselves and recognize who God is. And of course, the ancillary teachings, they're really not the main teaching, but some people think of it as the main teaching. Don't be proud and don't judge others. But you cannot be proud and still not know yourself. And you can not judge others and still have other sins and not know yourself. So the most critical thing is to know yourself and to reach out to God and ask for help. Then we come to the prodigal son, which we read last week, with this marvelous expression, when he came to himself. This is when a sinful man recognizes that he is adrift without God. That being estranged from God is the worst death possible. And when he came to himself, that he made up his mind to repent. And he was weak. And so God looked for him. And when he made the smallest repentance and took the first few steps towards returning from the far country, far away from God, God was there. Our repentance would not be strong enough if it were not for God helping us. But He will help us in our repentance. That's what we should understand from that parable. Now we come to the Sunday of the Last Judgment. Some people call it meat fair because, of course, we eat meat for the last time now, and that's a big deal. So it's called meat fair. But the liturgical title is the Sunday of the Last Judgment. And of course, we read in this gospel about the righteous and the unrighteous and how the righteous had done works, good works. They'd fed the hungry, given water to the thirsty, taken strangers in, clothed the naked, taken care of the sick, visited those in prison. And the unrighteous had not done any of those things. So this is describing the moment of judgment, when God will look into our soul, everything will be evident to Him and to us. So this is describing a real future event. And we will be judged about what kind of man we are, what kind of woman we are. So that's the external teaching. There is a judgment, and the services speak a lot about the judgment. But that's only the beginning. That's not the primary inner meaning of this gospel. Let's talk a little bit quickly about the next gospel, Forgiveness Sunday. We must forgive. If we don't forgive, we can't be forgiven. If we don't forgive, we can't do what this particular gospel today is telling us to do. Now, unfortunately, translations being what they are, sometimes we get a wrong idea from the way things are expressed in our language, not the original language of the scriptures. And this is a very good case of that. So the Lord is giving this example of what the judgment will be like. And he says, when the Son of Man, of course, that's himself. That's his title for himself. It's in Daniel. And he took on that title because, of course, he is the Son of Man, isn't he? He became man. So just as we are sons of men, he's a son of man. He's a human being, in other words. So when the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all the angels with him, and he'll sit on the throne of his glory, and he will, as a shepherd, divide his sheep from the little kids, not from the goats. Of course, a little kid is a goat, but it's a young goat. Most translations say goats. So we have this idea that goats are bad and sheep are good. Well, I go to a monastery and take care of goats, and goats are actually very good. Goats are, they're good for a pastor to take care of. Because you know what? When you tell a goat no and you whack him, he stops doing what he's doing. That's really good. That's really refreshing. But young kids are immature. This is a very important point. Sheep are mature animals. Lambs are immature. Sheep are mature. A goat is a mature animal. But a young kid, well, that's the ones that get into trouble. And indeed, if you've ever seen young kids play, they get in a lot of trouble. This is very important. And another point is that what the righteous and the unrighteous said when the Lord had told them about these various good works, case of the righteous, what they had done. And they say, Lord, when did we do this? And the Lord says, inasmuch as ye have done it unto the least of these my brethren, ye have done it unto me. So if you take these two things together, that the Lord is saying that the young kids will be judged and put on the left-hand side, that is, be in perdition, and that the Lord has said that if you do this to the least of these, you do it unto me. If you put these two things together, this teaching is about growing to maturity in Christ. Now, we could talk about the judgment and say terrible things, all of them true about it, about the worm that never dies, the fire that is not quenched. That's all true. Of course, it's poetic language. There's not a worm that's going to be eating us. But there will be that sorrow without any opportunity to make amends for that sorrow. That's really what it's talking about. It's terrible. But you know in your own life that terrible things don't necessarily keep a person from terrible consequences, don't necessarily keep a person from doing terrible things. People still murder, even though there's a death penalty. People still steal, even though they can go to prison for it. Let's make it more personal. We still judge our brother, even though we know that it says, with whatever measure you meet, you will be judged. And yet we still judge. So knowing about the judgment is not going to keep you from doing the things that the unrighteous did. Fear only takes you so far. Some people's whole religious life is fear, fearing hell, wanting to do things to appease God. That's not what God expects. God expects us to grow from a young kid to a mature goat, mature sheep. And this growth is as we have the image of God within us no longer tarnished, so that it shines forth, and we grow in wisdom and intelligence, and we see then if the image of God within us is uncovered, is restored, then we will, as a natural consequence, see the image of God in others, whether it's tarnished or not, and we'll understand that indeed that person is Christ. So we do to the least of his brethren, because his brethren are him. So we do good to others because God has done good to us, and God has enlightened us, brought us to maturity. Now, perhaps you like the approach of fearing hell. Okay, for some that might work for a while. But what really works is feeling God within you and God changing your heart. And out of that love within you, then you live a life like God. And you reach out to your brother You feed your hungry brother, and you give water to your thirsty brother. You take in the stranger. Let me suggest something to you about this coming fast. This fast is for you to grow. It's for you to grow to maturity, for you to change a little bit, for you to stop being a young kid and to become mature in some way. Now, you should fast. You should come to more of the services. You should say this prayer of St. Ephrem. You should do certain things like that. But that's not the point of the next 6 or so weeks. The point is to grow to maturity, to stop being a young kid, to have the image of God, which is tarnished within you, to have it all the tarnish taken off, and to have the love of God be springing out of you so strongly that you love your brother, even the ones that are hard to love, even the ones that treat you poorly, even the boss that's unfair, even the brother or sister that is always messing with you. You grow to do that by this growth in Christ. And all these Gospels sort of come together as a patchwork. I'll repeat them again because they're important, because in total, I'm really speaking more on the big picture here. And that's sometimes a risky thing for a pastor to do, because many of you are looking at the little picture. But God doesn't look at the little picture. He looks at the big picture. So let's look at these Gospels sort of in an overview. With Zacchaeus, we know we must, when God speaks to us, we must act. With the publican and the Pharisee, we must recognize in ourselves what's wrong, and we must reach out to God and say, God, forgive me. If you do that, you don't have any time to judge anybody. Don't have to worry about what the Pharisee's doing. And with the prodigal, we must seek out a state of mind where we come to ourselves, where we recognize that thing that I've been doing, that's wrong. I've been doing it for years, been thinking it for years, I've had this priority for years, and it's wrong. I've got to change. And then this gospel, we must grow to maturity. Christianity is change of the soul, to become perfected. It's not just a belief system. It's not just a, well, I do this and I do that and I do this. And we don't do that because other people do that and they're not right. That's not what Christianity is. Christianity is growth to maturity in Christ. And the last gospel that we read in the sequence tells us that if we don't forgive, we can't do any of it. So I submit to you that this is an exciting time for you. I always get excited. It's my favorite time of the year. Because there's a lot wrong with me. I want to change it. A lot of times I don't have any idea how. But my experience has shown me that things do change. Slowly. More slowly than I'd like them to. But this is an opportunity to go outside yourself. And all the standard spiritual exercises will help you. But they're not the point. The point is grow to maturity in Christ. Then you don't have to worry about being one of those people that says, Lord, when was it that I didn't do this thing for you? Because you'll see Christ in everybody and you'll take care of everyone. Let's try to make steps towards that. Let's try to be a little more kind this Great Lent. That's really very important. You've heard me say before, if you can't stop sinning, at least be kind. So let's learn to be a little more kind. Because compassion is the hallmark of a Christian that has Christ abiding in his heart. Because all of these things that the Lord brought up are when we see someone in need and are compassionate to them, every single one of them. May God help us to become a little kinder this Great Lent. You think that's a good goal? I think it's an excellent goal to have. May God grant it for us. Amen.